Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, the UN chief urges countries to make stamping out human trafficking a real priority. And the United Arab Emirates supports young people in becoming positive agents for development. But first, UN officials have welcomed Saudi Arabia's decision to lift a ban prohibiting women from driving. The announcement was made on Tuesday and will come into effect next July. In New York, Saudi Arabia's UN ambassador broke the news to the General Assembly during a ceremony marking the International Day for the Total Elimination of Nuclear Weapons, observed annually on the 26th of September. Here's Ambassador Abdullah bin Yahya al-Mualimi.
You may be interested to know that a few minutes ago, a royal decree has been issued in Saudi Arabia giving women the right to drive. This is a historic day for Saudi society, for men and women, and we can now say at last.
On Twitter, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres described the move as an important step in the right direction. Mohamed Nasiri, who's the regional director in the Arab states for the UN's gender agency, UN Women, also welcomed the historic decision.
I have to say that we have received it with a lot of gladness today here in UN Women. And me personally, as an Arab citizen, of course, it's been a long due. However, it's been a very, very important step today. We do see it as a symbolic move from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia towards more space for the rights of Saudi women in the kingdom.
The head of UN Women echoed that sentiment. Executive Director Phumzile Mlambo Nguka issued a statement which said a driver's license is a vital step to other freedoms for Saudi Arabian women. She also expressed hope that the royal decree now starts the journey to substantive equality for women and girls in Saudi Arabia, with more access to public spaces and life, increased participation in the job market, and a life free of violence in all spheres. She said women being able to apply for a driver's license and then being able to use it is a long-awaited milestone in Saudi Arabia. It puts them at par with their male counterparts in this one area of public life and gives them a right to a life-saving skill that they should never have been denied, she added. The scourge of human trafficking needs to become a real priority for international cooperation, the UN Secretary General urged on Wednesday. The plea from Antonio Guterres came as the General Assembly adopted a new political declaration to fight trafficking in persons during a high-level meeting in New York. The two-day meeting to appraise the UN Global Plan of Action over the issue heard moving testimony during the opening session from a victim of human trafficking who said survivors needed to hear the UN was on their side. Matt Wells has the story.
The scourge of human trafficking needs to become a real priority for international cooperation, the UN Secretary General urged on Wednesday. The plea from Antonio Guterres came as the General Assembly adopted a new political declaration to fight trafficking in persons during a high-level meeting in New York. The two-day meeting to appraise the UN Global Plan of Action over the issue heard moving testimony during the opening session from a victim of human trafficking who said survivors needed to hear the UN was on their side. Standing at the main podium of the General Assembly Hall, Griselda Grootboom fought through her tears and began her testimony with a powerful song from her native South Africa. She was forced into a life of sexual slavery, betrayed by a friend who brought her to the metropolis of Johannesburg, only to turn her over to brutal captors and a life of sickening exploitation.
Trying to scream, but they were starting to wrap duct tape around my eyes and my mouth, undressing me and injecting my legs with crystal meth behind my knees.
Speaking on behalf of the millions of victims of trafficking and abuse, Ms. Grootboom said her frail health was a constant reminder of the lives she'd finally managed to escape, and she called on the UN to champion everyone around the world like her.
It is so important that a voice of survivors, not for just this gathering, but also for young girls that are stuck in the sex slavery, to hear the hope that United Nations can give them. I don't speak because I want to be a speaker or an activist, but I speak because I understand every single pain and the slavery of being a sex slave. I really hope that the global plan will not just take action on paper and pen, but it will take action in every rural, township, and country and city, but most of all, in every human dignity of every young girl and woman. Thank you. May you be blessed.
The Goodwill Ambassador for the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, actor Mira Sorvino, welcomed the new political declaration, but said words needed to be turned into meaningful, robust action.
We have the means and the knowledge of best practices to fight and end human trafficking, but only if we deploy the moral urgency, enormous political will, and robust financial resources that this dire situation calls for.
Human trafficking is all around us, said UN Chief Antonio Guterres, citing the complex web of factors that drive the illegal international trade. He said that too often traffickers operated with impunity, escaping the scrutiny and prosecution that's led to the jailing of many drug barons across the world.
I always thought my children could one day be victims of drugs. I never thought they would be victims of trafficking. And that is why probably my government indeed introduced, and with a lot of commitment, a new drugs policy that even today is considered by many as a reference. But we did not do enough in relation to human trafficking. And it is clear to me that it is our responsibility as leaders to make human trafficking a real priority for international cooperation.
Matt Wells, United Nations.
Young people could be the disruptive solution needed to tackle the global challenge of violent extremism. That's the view of the youth minister in the United Arab Emirates, Shama Suhail Faris Al-Masri. Appointed last year when she was just 22, she's believed to be the youngest government minister in the world. Ms. Masri was in New York this month for the start of the latest session of the UN General Assembly. She spoke to Basma Bagal about UAE initiatives geared towards youth, who now top more than 1 billion globally.
I'm very excited to focus on 100% youth engagement and the critical role that youth play on the Sustainable Development Goals. I just had a youth young leaders and world leaders breakfast that focused on building a bridge between young leaders and world leaders. I'm going to be part of a youth dialogue focused on sustainable entrepreneurship with our Minister of Climate Change and Environment, and also a youth circle focused on counter-violent extremism with the Secretary General Envoy on Youth.
So let's talk about this. Why the youth circle important in tackling violent extremism?
So one thing first I want to highlight, Basma, is that the Youth Circle is a UAE initiative under the patronage of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum that focuses on skillfully listening to young people. So our role is how can we translate young people's voices, their skills, their needs, their concerns into meaningful action, policy and initiative. And Youth Circle is this platform that creates a two-way dialogue. The Youth Circle today with the Secretary General Envoy on Youth is on counter-violent extremism with Hidayah. Hidayah is an international center focused on countering violent extremism. And you might say, why counter violent extremism? Why youth? Well, there's 1.2 billion people between the ages of 15 to 30 around the world. And in some countries, young people are the biggest constituency in their country. When we look at violent extremism, we see that the largest age group or demographic that goes to extremist groups are young people. So the question is, how can young people be the disruptive solution rather than the disruptive part of a problem?
Let's talk about UAE youth in particular and the Arab youth in general.
In the UAE, thankfully, we see young people as a portfolio, not as a problem. We see them as a solution. We see them as the next emerging markets of assets and potential, as really an energy to harness. Young people are unfinished adults that cannot contribute while learning.
Let's concentrate on certain issues in sustainable development goals. Let's, especially in certain areas like poverty eradication, youth employment, and gender equality.
I think from the UAE's front, we focus a lot on how governments need to roll up their sleeves and help young people have grassroots initiatives for them to raise their voice in a lot of issues and play their role in contributing to SDGs. I think one of the main messages is for young people to really focus on playing a bigger role in their community and serving their nation and being positive agents in contributing to SDGs.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.